As the final sheep are getting the elements for communion, most people, when you think about the Passover, they think that the most important thing is the lamb and the eating of the lamb. But we notice that in communion, we have bread that we eat. And it's bread and wine or bread and grape juice or whatever. But we forget that the Passover itself, not just communion, not just the Lord's Supper, but the Passover itself had bread. And that was that they had a seven-day period called the Feast of Unleavened Bread that was connected to and literally part of the Passover. Okay, so we have bread, but they also serve bread. And I want to read a scripture to you out of Luke. You don't have to turn to any of these, but Luke 22, verse 1 says, "Now the feast of the unleavened bread drew near, which is called Passover." So I'm trying to show you that the feast of unleavened bread with the bread was part of the Passover. And Jesus took bread and broke it, remember, and said, "This is my body." And so in the feast of unleavened bread, to be prepared, they had to purge their house from leaven. Y'all remember that? And make sure there wasn't any leaven in the house and any leaven in what they ate either. And we'll see the scripture in a little bit. But Paul says, yes, that's still a thing. It's still a thing. And so one of the terms that Paul uses, and this is in 1 Corinthians, all through 1 Corinthians, is for leaven, which is not good. It's unleavened bread that we want. Leaven, he uses the word puffed up a lot. He really does. He uses it a lot. But one of the scriptures that he does, and you know this one, so I'll just read it again. This is out of 1 Corinthians chapter 13. "And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not love, it profit me nothing. Love suffereth long and is kind. Love envieth not. Love vaunteth not itself and is not puffed up." Okay. So the things that he's rolling off here, those are things that relate to having leaven in the Passover, which you're not supposed to. He's talking about what is good, that what suffers long and is kind and doesn't envy and doesn't vaunt itself and is not puffed up. And then in 1 Corinthians 4, we have, and again, don't turn there because we're not really looking for that. We're just trying to set a precedent here. 1 Corinthians 4, verses 6 and 18 and 19, he again starts talking about, by the way, this is not the sermon. This is just the sharing before. I pity the person who's going to be sharing because we're taking up all their time. Who is sharing, Scott? "And the Lord said..." Just kidding. So in the examples in 1 Corinthians 4, one of it is that they're fighting over Paul or Apollos or Peter, and he uses the term, you know, "You're being puffed up." In fact, he just simply calls it, "Is Christ divided?" That's his way of addressing. Is Christ divided like this? You're puffed up over these things. So clearly you're not eating the lamb and you're not eating unleavened bread. You're eating leavened bread. Next time it pops up, spiritual gifts and offices. And he has to deal with it there again. If you're not the eye, you're not as good as me, or, you know, looking down on one another and stuff like that. And so there are different situations throughout, particularly 1 Corinthians, that are literally using that word puffed up. And but every one of them are the same subject, and that is in relationship to communion, Passover, Lord's Supper, whatever you want to call it, Feast of Unleavened Bread. But the scripture I want to get to here and you might try to register this in your mind, 1 Corinthians 5, because you may want to go back and look at it. There are, within this chapter, and I'm not going to read the whole chapter, but within it are different elements that literally have to do with the Passover or the Feast of Unleavened Bread, but he's talking about what we would call communion. Do you understand what I'm saying? I mean, he's literally using wordage for that, but saying this is how you're messing up. And so, let's see. And you, okay, so this example is going to be about somebody that committed adultery and they didn't deal with it. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about any leaven at all that puffs you up, that makes you think you're something and you look down on others. So remember that that's not the primary theme that he's trying to get to here. Or has up to this point in all the other chapters. And you are puffed up and have not rather mourned that he that hath done this deed might be taken away from among you. For I verily, as absent in the body, but present in spirit, have judged already as though I were present concerning him that hath done this deed. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, when you are gathered together in my spirit and the power of the Lord Jesus Christ, to deliver such an one unto Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that the spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus. Your glorying is not good. Know ye not that a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump? Purge out. So this applies to whether it's being divided over, oh, I like Apollos more than I like Paul, or whether it's talking about, well, I have a better gift than you do, so I look down on you. It's applying to leaven. Okay? purge out therefore the old leaven, that you may be a new lump as you are unleavened. For even Christ, our Passover, is a sacrifice for us. Therefore, let us keep the feast, not with old leaven, neither with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. I wrote unto you an epistle not to company with fornicators, yet not all together those that are of the world, but with the covetousness and extortioners and with idolaters. And he goes on and on. And then he says, the very next verse, he says, but now I have written unto you not to keep company with any man that is called. And so he starts naming off these things. But again, it's the leaven, not these specific things. It's lifting up some preacher above someone else or something like that. And we have four or five people that preach every Sunday and rotate. For what have I to do to judge them also that are outside of the body of Christ? Do not ye judge them that are within? But them that are without, God judgeth. Therefore, put away from among yourselves that wicked person. Okay, so I just want to show you the specific elements here that are related to Passover, Feast of Unleavened Bread, which we read are really one thing. Judas turned over to Satan. This I don't know if you noticed, but I read where they said we might have to turn this one over to Satan. Partaking of the bread, Christ our Passover, keeping the feast, purging out leaven. So clearly this leaven thing has to do with either fulfilling the true spirit of the feast or violating it based on your attitude towards things and people. All right, so one of the last things I read here was purging out leaven. And just listen to this, because I'm going to read parts of this again. And I want you to notice that he's saying purge out the leaven, okay? All right. So that he that hath done this thing might be taken away from among you, purged. Verse 5, to such an one, purge, this is the purge, deliver unto Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that the spirit may be saved in the day of Jesus Christ. Deliver him out. Verse 7, this is literally using the word, purge out therefore the old leaven, that you may be a new lump, even as you are unleavened. He's saying, purge it out that you may be a new lump now, but you are unleavened, because the very next verse says, because Christ our Passover has been all sacrificed for us. On the basis of that, start changing this stuff. Yes. Amen? And then he says right after that, therefore let us keep the feast. Somebody says, well, we don't keep those Old Testament feasts because they're Old Testament. You know, he's saying keep this feast this way. It's just the spiritual aspect of it, and not just a, going back to the Old Testament ways. And then the last one is, purge, okay, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. So he's saying not this, but purge that so that it could be that. So actually there's 1, 2, 3, 4 more examples of this. But I'm going to cut it short with just us taking communion. You know, it's our responsibility personally to purge out all this puffed upness and all this stuff that makes us want to look down on everybody else and think that we're better, and it's a violation of the bread represents the body of Christ. We're in the body of Christ saved, but we've got leaven in us. And so it's our responsibility. We don't call the priest, they didn't. You don't call the priest to come to each house and purge it all out and find it and dig underneath the shelves and, you know, say, where you got, you know, leaven hidden in this house. It's not his responsibility. It's the person that owns the house. They're supposed to purge all this stuff out. So in another place in Corinthians, of course, Paul says, examine yourself. See, all this is of the same spirit, the same view, the same mind, the same heart. It's, I want to be with you, Lord. So, so I wrote down this, and then I'm going to pray. Let us partake of his body without adding leaven. Amen. Father, we just ask your spirit to breathe life into the words of 1 Corinthians 5 and to bring our hearts more to you. We so much of the time don't know if we're violating you or not, and yet in huge ways we violate the Lord's Supper. But we want to be with you, and we want to partake of you. And then we want what's of you inside of us to be you flowing out to others in our view of how we see things. You may partake of the bread. And then I wrote one sentence under the wine. Let us partake of his poured out life. Father, thank you for your son. Thank you for his self-giving. Thank you that he was willing to pour himself out for the least, for the worst, for the sinners, for the people that hated him. Father, we are partaking of that in spirit and supposed to be commemorating it in the Lord's Supper. The Lord's Supper is not our commemoration. In truth, it is us living according to this. So, Father, we partake of Jesus' life. Amen. You may partake.